Tiffany woke up because someone was shaking her. Tiffany? She'd gone to sleep in Nanny Ogg's cottage with her head against the cornucopia. From somewhere close, there was a strange piff noise, like a dry drip. Pale blue snow light filled the room. As she opened her eyes, Granny Weatherwax was gently pushing her back into her chair. "You've been sleeping since 9 o'clock, my girl," she said. "Time to go home, I think." Tiffany looked around.
"I am here, aren't I?" she said, feeling dizzy.
"No, this is Nanny Ogg's house, and this is a bowl of soup." Tiffany woke up. There was a blurry bowl of soup in front of her. It looked familiar. "When did you last sleep in a bed?" said a wavering, shadowy figure. Tiffany yawned. "What day is this?"
"Tuesday," said Granny Weatherwax.
"Hmm. What's a Tuesday?" Tiffany woke up for the third time and was grabbed and pulled upright.
"There," said the voice of Granny Weatherwax. "This time stay awake. Drink soup, get warm. You need to go home."
This time Tiffany's stomach took control of a hand and a spoon, and by degrees Tiffany warmed up. Granny Weatherwax sat opposite, the kitten Ewe on her lap, watching Tiffany until the soup was gone.
"I expected too much from you," she said. "I'd hoped that as the days grew longer you'd find more power. That ain't no fault of yours."
The piff noises were getting more frequent. Tiffany looked down and saw barley dripping out of the cornucopia. The number of grains increased even as she watched.
"You set it on barley before you fell asleep," said Granny. "It slows right down when you're tired. Just as well, really. Otherwise we'd have been eaten alive by chickens."
"It's about the only thing I've got right," said Tiffany.
"Well, I dunno. Anagramma Hawkins seems to be showing promise. Lucky in her friends, from what I hears."
If Miss Treason had tried to play poker against Granny Weatherwax's face, she would have lost. The patter of the new grains suddenly became much louder in the silence.
"Look, I..." Tiffany began.
Granny sniffed.
"I'm sure no one has to explain themselves to me," she said virtuously. "Will you promise me that you'll go home? A couple of coaches got through this morning, and I hear it's not too bad yet, down on the plains. You go back to your chalk country. You're the only witch they've got."
Tiffany sighed. She did want to go home more than anything, but it would be like running away.
"It might be like running too," said Granny, picking up her old habit of replying to something that hadn't actually been said.
"I'll go tomorrow, then," said Tiffany.
"Good." Granny stood up. "Come with me. I want to show you something."
Tiffany followed her through a snow tunnel that came out near the edge of the forest. The snow had been packed down here by people dragging firewood home, and once you got a little way from the edge of the forest, the drifts weren't too bad. A lot of snow hung in the trees, filling the air with cold blue shadows.
"What are we looking for?" asked Tiffany.
Granny Weatherwax pointed.
There was a splash of green in the white and grey. It was young leaves on an oak sapling a couple of feet high. When Tiffany crunched her way through the snow crust and reached out to touch it, the air felt warm.
"Do you know how you managed that?" asked Granny.
"No."
"Me neither. I couldn't do it. You did, girl. Tiffany Aching."
"It's just one tree," said Tiffany.
"Ah, well, you have to start small with oak trees."
They stared in silence at the tree for a few moments. The green seemed to reflect off the snow around it. Winter stole colour, but the tree glowed.
"And now we've all got things to do," said Granny, breaking the spell. "You, I believe, would normally be heading for Miss Treason's old place about now. I'd expect no less of you."
There was a coaching inn. It was busy even at this time in the morning. The fast mail coach had made a quick stop for fresh horses after the long haul into the mountains, and another one, bound for down on the plains, was waiting for the passengers. The breath of horses filled the air with steam. Drivers stamped their feet. Sacks and packages were being loaded. Men bustled around with nose bags. Some bandy-legged men just hung around, smoking and gossiping. In 15 minutes, the inn's yard would be empty again, but for now, everyone was too busy to pay much attention to one more stranger. Afterward, they all told different stories, contradicting one another at the tops of their voices. Probably the most accurate account came from Miss Dimphnia Stoot, the innkeeper's daughter, who was helping her father serve breakfast.
"Well, he like came in, and right there I could see he was odd. He walked funny, you know, lifting his legs like a trotting horse does. Also, he was kind of like shiny, but we get all sorts here, and it does not pay to make personal remarks. We had a bunch of werewolves in here last week, and they were just like you and me, except we had to put their plates on the floor. All right, yes, this man. Well, he sat down at a table and said, 'I am a human just like you.' He came out with it, just like that. Of course, no one else paid attention, but I told him I was glad to hear it, and what did he want to eat, because the sausages was particular fine this morning, and he said he could only eat cold food, which was funny, because everyone was grumbling about how cold it was in the room now, and it's not like there wasn't a big fire burning. Anyway, actually, we did have some cold sausage left in the pantry, and they were a bit on the turn, if you know what I mean, so I gave them to him, and he chewed one for a bit, and then he says, with his mouth full, if you please, "This is not what I expected. What do I do now?" And I said, "You swallow." And he said, "Swallow?" And I said, "Yes, you swallow it down into your stomach, right?" And he said, spraying bits of sausage all over the place, "Oh, a hollow bit. And sort of like wavers." And then he says, "Ah, I am a human. I have successfully eaten human sausages." And I said there was no need to be like that. They were made of mostly pig, same as always. Then he says, "What is he supposed to do with them now?" And I says, "It's not my place to tell him, and that will be 2 pennies, please." And he puts down a gold coin, so I curtsy because, well, you never know. Then he says, "I am a human, just like you. Where are the pointy humans who fly through the sky?" Which was a funny way of putting it to my mind, but I told him if it was witches he wanted, there was plenty of them over the Lanka Bridge. And he said, "Name of treason?" And I said, "I heard she was dead, but with witches who can say?" And off he went. All the time he had this, like, smile, all shiny and a bit worrying. Something wrong with his clothes, too, like they were stuck to him or something. But you can't be too choosy in this business. We had some trolls in here yesterday. They can't eat our food, you know, being kind of like walking rocks. But we gave them a slap-up meal of broken cups and grease. But he was a rum'un. The place got a lot warmer after he left, too.